Good morning. My name is Samuel, and I'm going to be your assistant during today's conference. Right now, I'd like to give you a warm welcome to the conference of financial report for trimester 2016 of Celsia. All the lines have been set on silent mode so that we can avoid any kind of background noise. After the comments from the speaker, we're going to have a Q&A session. If you wish to ask a question right there at that moment, you just need to press the star key, press button number one in your cell phone, in your phone. Thank you. Now I have the pleasure to give the floor to Mr. Ricardo Sierra, CEO from Celsia. Mr. Celsia, you have the word. Thank you very much, Samuel. Good morning to all of you, and thank you for joining us today. The last call, we talked about the resilience capacity of our company and the focus of all the collaborators in the search of operational excellence that allows us to get to the important numbers in the last trimester. Additionally, increasing number of rain during the last trimester 2016 in Colombia and in Panama favored the hydric generation that helped us to normalize the operations. I'd like to start by giving you a general context of the results in the industry in our business. The energy demand in Colombia during 2016 reached 66,315 gigawatts per year, showing a reduction of 0.2%. At the closing of the year, the hydric contributions to the reservoirs had a really important contribution to the average, historical average. The level of these reservoirs was located at the closing of 2016 at 74% of its useful volume. This is the highest level of the whole year, really above expectations that we had in the markets. The rain volumes in Antioquia in the center and the east of the country had a positive impact in the recovery of the reservoirs. On the other hand, Panama, the Fortune reservoirs and Bayano increased the reservoirs level due to the strategy in the CDNA during the time of rain that showed 75% and 61% results. So let's look at the operational results and financial resources from which you'll find more detail in the trimester report and in the information that you'll find on our webpage for investors. In the trimester, the consolidated income reached 793,000 million, a minor number in comparison to 2015, in the same period where it had a high base due to El Nino impact and with a thermal operation at full capacity. We would like to point or highlight in Colombia our distribution and commercialization businesses that contributed 35% of the income and that had a good behavior due to higher IPP. Likewise, we would like to highlight the income of Central America that contributed more than $58 million and represented 22% of consolidated income, explained by the increase of sales in the contract of Bahia of Las Minas Bay. 2016, the income reached 3.8 billion pesos, showing a 3% growth. Due to the good performance of the commercialization businesses, transmission and distribution businesses that were registered with a growth, annual growth of 13%. The sales cost of the trimester was 576,000 million, 53% less in comparison to what's observed in the same period of 2015, explained mainly due to the return of normal conditions in the operation in Colombia. And in Central America, due to the fall of oil prices and the decrease of the marginal cost that favored the purchase of energy in the year, the sales cost reached 2.9 billion with a fall of 6%. This good operational good results strengthen our conviction and reinforce the disciplined work in order to maintain stable and profitable operations. The EBITDA of this trimester was 256,000 million, 118% above the same period in comparison of 2015, with a margin, EBITDA margin of 32.3%, getting close to historical margins. On average, the EBITDA margin of 2016 reached 1.3 billion, a record number in our history, and showing a 51% growth rate in regards or in comparison to 2015. At business level, generation in Colombia contributed with 420,000 million, transmission and distribution 309,000 million, and the operations of Central America contributed $84. This strengthening of our operation, we've been able to achieve thanks to the commitment For collaborators, and do it with a lot of improvements in different processes in the operational excellence. In this non-operational results, the variation of this financial expense that was above due to the increase of the rates in reference to corporate bonds programs that are indexed to the IPC and interest associated to Cucuana leasing that until 2015 were capitalized. And in the lines of other income includes the indemnization of insurers for 9,000 millions associated to the emergent impact in Chicala program 2013. With all of this information, the net result for the fourth trimester was close to 76,000 million. It was an important recovery in regards to the registered loss in the same trimester of 2015 for 32,000 million. In 2016, the profit were registered for 171,000 million. It was a result, a very satisfactory result, and it's an extra motivation to improve our results. As we have mentioned before, in the last year, cash flow of it's one of our most appreciated assets, and good results of operational financial results has allowed us to protect this. Our company closed the year with cash flow above 365,000 million. We were able to amortize debt for a value of 126,000 million. Highlighting the last trimester, the payment of 83,000 million of the closest series of the bonds program in Celsia. Additionally, we're able to diminish the indicator of leveraging net debt EBITDA until almost 3.4 times, an accelerated change in comparison to the 2015 that was at 5.13 times. The financial resource and the discipline of the management of four results will allow us to get closer more and more to the expected levels in regards to long-term indicators. Moving on to investments in Colombia, we execute 302 million in 2016, from which 38% corresponded to the business of generation, 47% to distribution issues, and the remaining value is destined to investments in technology, innovation, support areas. In the generation business, the main investments were destined to maintenance in tax-free zone Celsia and technological updates done in the hydrological main programs like we did in the reboosting program in San Bajina and Chicaya in order to increase reliability in the service. In the distribution business, the investments were focused mainly in the construction of the Plan 5 Caribe that are advancing within schedule, and they will have an important contribution in the EBITDA of the company. In Guajira area, we reboosted the areas perform in substation Maicao Riohacha. The works in Cuestecitas were able to reach 92% at the end of 2016, but it's already at 100% in January 31st of 2017. In Valledupar, we keep broadening the different programs of Plan 5, and by the end of May, we're expecting to open the new activities. The other projects continue with this contract. It's important the stability that this processes are going to increase, because we're increasing income for 25 years in this period. In Central America, the perform investments reached $14.4 million, 46% corresponds to maintenance, replacements, and BLM improvements, and 26% corresponds to the investment in the managing branch in Panama. The remaining value corresponds to maintenance in Cativa and improvements in Dos Mares and PEG. I would like to move on and tell you how are we advancing in the new businesses. We're already seeing an important value products in our clients in different segments, in home and right now we are in the technical evaluation, 92 potential customers in solar roofs that work for 37 megawatts, the equivalent of almost two small central reservoirs that are going to cover it with this solar panels. In Celsia, we are leading solar energy business in Colombia. For our customers, companies, corporate buildings, or residential units, we are offering the opportunity to pay for the support of this energy supply. We install the backup appliance, we monitor them, we do the operation and the maintenance. We are in the process of installation process of 24 plants with a business model that we're expecting to scale and duplicate with other assets towards the future. Just to give you a reference, these 24 plants add up close to 9 megawatts. Likewise, we are advancing with the development of two pilot projects that are allow us to define if these thermal districts could be scaled in order to take them to new markets. We're advancing at the construction of the first thermic district intramural in Colombia in the mall in Monteria. We're expecting to be at pre-operational phase in order to perform the development test so that we can do the opening ceremony in June. We're also announcing the construction of the Celsia program in June. It's a project of 9.9 megawatts made of 35,000 solar panels in a terrain of 18 hectares. This is located in Jumbo area that is going to generate close to 16 gigawatts per hour per year. This is the equivalent to a monthly consumption of 8,000 households. This solar program will start in the third trimester of this year. In regulatory issues, the CREG issued through the different issuing resolutions 17677 of 2016, new proposals for comments of the remuneration methodologies in regards to activation and distribution of transmission. The comments were presented by the agents in December of 2016. This proposal, similar to the ones that were pointed out in 2015 and the beginning of 2016, are based on the cost scheme and depreciated assets. Both proposals, they keep the depreciation factor for the current asset base. We are expecting a new proposal for March, followed by an additional analysis period and comments. And we're waiting for the issue of the definite resolution for the second trimester of 2017 and its application from the fourth trimester of 2017. In regards to the objectives of this year or expectations in Colombia, we're going to be doing higher maintenance in the Alto in Chicaya area for the third trimester during the summer season that it usually starts from August. And likewise, we have planned maintenance for the second trimester in tax-free area of sales. Yeah, we have important challenges in Central America, starting by the recovery of the water channels, operations in Chiriquí, and maintenance of the equipment in Costa Rica and our hydrological center over there. As you can see, we have advanced with this important task, and we continue with different challenges during the next trimester. Likewise, the organization will be paying 85,000 million pesos, the closest series of the EPSA bond program that it will expire from April 2017 with the resources that come from this operation. In relevant information that came out yesterday, the board proposed a distribution of the earnings product of the operations of 2016 by 130 pesos per share. It is a clear sign, a commitment of our shareholders in order to deliver a stable return in their investment. I want to refer to the recovery of our financial interest, and we're really interested that our stakeholders or shareholders can have a positive return due to the investment in our company. I would like now to refer to the results of social and different programs that we've been working with. In the Reverde C program, we were able to reach the goal of growing 562,000 trees in Valle del Cauca, creating more than 400 employment and contributing to the restoring process of this area. The objective, and we are planning to reach this new objective, this is a voluntary program. In 2016, the investment in social issues in Colombia was 24,000 million pesos, and in Central America of $420,000. With the case of Colombia, 58% of this investment corresponds to voluntary actions, and 42% we're talking about obligatory issues when we talk about environment issues that where we have commitment with the communities that we're benefiting. For Central America, the 99% of these investments are voluntary and 1%, only 1% are obligatory. In Colombia, the different foundations invested more than 6,800 million and benefiting more than 98,000 people. With this investment, we executed 37 projects in 37 municipalities of the areas of influence of the organization, counting with the support of 13 alliance programs with different infrastructural programs, being able to improve this infrastructure. What we talked about, for example, potable water and potable water supply. And additionally, when we talk about educational issues, we participated with different improvement programs in 304 educational branches. Just to close this, I would like to invite you to our yearly, board reunion, which is going to take place in Medellin, in Plaza Mayor, by March 27 at 10 a.m. With this, we close our report of 2016, and we're happy due to the recovery, and I'd like to invite you to have a dialogue, an open dialogue about these results. Thank you very much. Right now, I'd like to remind all of you that if you want to ask a question, please press the star key followed by number one, pad star key for star number one. And the first question comes from David Santos from Compass Group. Good morning. I'd like to congratulate you for these numbers. They're really, really important numbers. I would like to ask you, what kind of expectations do you have of the evolution of the debt capacity, capability, and CAPEX of this year? If you'd like to make a comment more than just the project, I'd like to talk about the numbers, this CAPEX expectations that you have for this year. Thank you, David. Here we have Esteban Piedreita, our CFO, and he is going to give you all the details. How are you, David? What are we expecting this year? Let's say that from the point of view, or this point of view of indebtedness, we're going to keep our purpose of 2016 of paying a part of our credit programs that we're carrying out. And in May, some of these programs are due, so we are planning to continue with this leveraging approach of the organization. However, when we talk about CAPEX 2017, that's the year we're going to have more CAPEX in our program 5 Caribe. We have the big 5 Caribe project like Caracolí from Barranquilla and the North that are going to be executed this year. So right there, we're going to have an additional ratio, an additional debt ratio. So as we have seen in this year, comparing December 2016 and 17, that maybe the number of debt stock is going to be really similar. However, it's going to be made up of a lack of leveraging and a substitution of new programs associated to new income, just like we have Cinco Caribe plan. At this plan, when we talk about leveraging in the debt EBITDA indicator, it's going to contribute a lot of its income by 2018. And only until that moment we're going to see the positive impact. So we do have a small leveraging advantage in that sense. From the CAPEX point of view, we are expecting to execute more CAPEX than previous years in 2016, really pushed by the 5 Caribe program and really motivated by the different programs as they talk, for example, like the solar program in Jumbo, just as the different programs from Monteria. Thank you very much. Perfect. Thank you, David. Next question from Sebastian Gutierrez of Bancolombia. Ricardo, good morning. Thank you very much for this presentation. I have two questions. One is related to the new businesses, and maybe do you have maybe a number or data of how much this new business can contribute to the income and the different margins that we can expect? And the second question is in regards with the regasification plant. I understand that this plant is going to start its operations, and I would like to know the status of this operation with this gas supply and if the fuel costs, it's enough in regards to the current scarcity prices in order to generate profit. Thank you. Perfect. Let's start with the new businesses. We are really happy with the development of the new strategy of this company. The company has changed totally in this, with a new commercial view. The contribution of these new operational lines in regards to the development of new lines has been impeccable. We have really turned around this strategy. So the first thing to keep into account is the solar issue. Here we have the businesses, for example, of roofs, and the margins are superior if you compare the EBITDA margins to what we normally handle. So we're going to wait, and we're going to see how these things develop. But when we stabilize the income, the margins are going to be higher. And the advantage that we have with these investments is that these are investments that are reflected within the year. These are investments that we start, and within the same year, we do see the dividends and with this EBITDA margins. I'm not going to give you the numbers yet, but we're really happy with the solar business numbers. In regards to the backup plants, this is a very nice business. It's a little bit slower in scale. So when you look at it in the CapEx, well, they're not the normal investment numbers. They're really smaller businesses, but I'm going to give you a number. It's twice as much in the EBITDA margin that we normally work with in the companies, and we're solving a big problem to our customers. We are all aware that in all the businesses, in all the different condos, there are backup plants, and we're solving a huge problem to these owners of these plants. So really, really happy with these lines, and I would say that it has a scalability possibility, but never at the other level. At other businesses, for example, the thermal area, we're performing a new project that's about to end in Monteria. Basically, what this does is it changes the whole air conditioning system of the mall. And when it changes this air conditioning system, we're not selling kilowatts or anything like that. We're selling tons of refrigeration. It's a model change. We mounted some gas turbines that cool the system, and we deliver high quality water and improves the quality of the air in the mall. And it has a very big advantage, not just for us because of business, but also for the customers. And it's that it diminishes the OPEX and it diminishes the investments that we, for example, that a landlord would have to do, for example, in a mall in the equipment. So it's a win-win situation for everybody. We're really happy. This is a new type of asset, so to speak, that we're developing and that we want to become leaders in this area. And we have gone around the world. We have counselors of the best quality and really important allies in Colombia with more than 40 years of experience in air conditioning systems, which makes this learning curve be something that we can actually achieve. And in regards to the regasification plant, Esteban is going to help us out. He's going to give us the details. If today the scarcity price with the production cost of that plant is, to make a long story short, it's actually that program is actually solving problems or not. As Sebastian, as we said, the plant is still going to started its operation December of last year. Actually, with the exception of a gap of gas that went through different conditions, due to different climate conditions that occurred during December and January, where we really had a really humid summer, we haven't had the need of applying the IENG that right now it's stored in the regasification plant. We've been doing the operation up to this moment with natural gases that we've been able to get with lower prices, for example, in comparison to the NAG, and with volumes that are easier to manage. And the second point that Ricardo already gave you the short answer right now, thank you to the entrance of the IENG and to the prices of this fuel today, if it's necessary to process due to the scarcity regimen, the company would be making an important margin in each produced kilowatt. Okay, thank you very much, Esteban and Ricardo. So, and the question is really interesting because for example, we look at the El Nino impact, and this changes with every report that comes out. For example, right now there's a 50% likelihood of El Nino by the second semester. If El Nino occurred right now with current conditions, clearly the company could be generating the profit margin. We wouldn't have this financial unbalance with the regulatory problems, the regulatory framework of El Nino. So this is something that helps a lot. Thank you, Ricardo, very much. Next question from Andres Cardona of BTG. Good morning, and thank you very much for this conference. I have two questions. The first one, it's in line with the renewable energy and new businesses. Is what are we missing from the regulatory framework so that we can see more decisions, not from decision-making, not from Celsius, but from the sector, in order to develop this type of technologies? And let's say in your case, what is actually taking you to develop this pilot plant before these regulatory changes are a reality? And the second question would be if you could briefly explain the renegotiation in Bahía Las Minas that allowed you to have this positive results in Central America. And how much of this happened to ideology, and how much of that happened thanks to the renegotiation?
The CREG, 110th Street in Bogotá. Because with a simple signature, they give you the PG or they take it away. With all the respect that we have for them, we do not want all of our businesses to depend on them. So that's the first message. That's why we're developing new businesses. That's why backup plants, the ones that I mentioned before, thermal districts, these businesses depend at all on what we mentioned before. These are B2B businesses that we develop as a private company. We solve problems for our customers. Those are the businesses that we actually like. The other topic is that the solar issue, and with the solar topic, we do depend on the regulatory framework, and I'm going to tell you, for the solar plants are obviously going to be, are clearly going to be immersed within this regulatory framework, existing framework. We could just sit around and wait as we've done in other countries around the world where we have big tenders from the government and everyone fights for this tender processes. So, but we're seeing this complementary quality within our portfolio. We see possibilities of these B2B businesses. We have a lot of customers that are really interested in this clean energy, because, for example, today a customer that wants to say that my energy purchase program is totally clean, when today this we have 70 coming from water and the rest from coal, so it's not 100% clean. On the other hand, if they have a contract with us and a solar plant system, it will obviously have this characteristic. So we have developed a business without having to wait for the regulatory framework to set the path. So in this company, we like to be different. So we also want to push this. In the BLM, the regulatory issue, Esteban, maybe you can help us out a little bit. Yeah, so when we got to the BLM decision point and when conversations with the regulator at some point and with the allies, this contract of BLM had some equilibrium issues between the PLM and its customer, and basically in the model from Panama where they're expecting this income from capital, it's due to capability approach, and so BLM wasn't really able to translate all of its variable costs to the tariff. Into 2015, we started arbitrage process expecting to arrive or to get to a recognition within the tariff and the contract to recognize the real costs, the generation costs of the plant. Finally, in January of last year, we had a final decision. And in this final decision, what happens is that there was an adjustment of this variable costs of generation and generated a clean transfer of our generational costs to the sale, to the energy sale tariff. That's why we have different conditions, and we are not changing the capacity program in order to have this the capability, so we are able to pay the fixed cost and capital regulation. The second part that has to be with hydrology is that Panama had experimented a typical phenomenon in regards, or thinking that it's four last years of hydrology due to El Nino and different phenomena, they were years where they had smaller contributions or lower than average. In the second part of the of this year, we're seeing numbers that are average numbers in Panama. That's why the hydrological generation gets back to its historical values, the normal values. This allows us during this hydrological season to have this thermal generation and we're able to buy at a positive margin of the company because of our cost went down under our generation costs. So let's say that the exercise that happens in Panama, the plant is generated so that it can manufacture 100% of its energy, but obviously in a system, for example, the water during a specific winter season, we need to keep into account. So we do the arbitrage against this variable costs. Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Andres. Next question, a line from Mark Haynes from La Vivienda. Good morning to all of you. I would like to congratulate you for the results. I'd like to compliment my colleague's question, and in regards to the solar project as such that you're planning to construct, if right now during the construction process of installed capacity, the whole plant is close to 200 megawatts of installed capacity, I would like to learn a little bit the value of that CAPEX, the total CAPEX value, and also the different times where you're planning to complete all this process. Additionally, I would like to know how you've been planning to dispatch this solar energy, if you're going to do it in the traditional way, if you can do this in this country, if there's a specific method of dispatching this energy, and I would like to learn about the cost of kilowatt generation per hour of this solar plant. Thank you very much. Mark, it's a pleasure I'm not going to answer a series of those questions because it's part of our competitive strategy. So let's say that, for example, we've gone through a lot of problems in order to get to this strategy. So we are hoping to continue in this business and be leaders in the solar industry. So I'm not going to talk a lot about costs because of confidentiality issues and our competitors, but the CAPEX at the end ends up being a CAPEX close to $200 million in total. More or less, those are the numbers. So let me tell you about the development of this solar farm. So we're developing different projects in different areas, especially in the northern region. We were able to identify other projects in Valle del Cauca. It's very important because I believe that within the specific matrix of Colombia, being able to connect a lot of different solar plants, it generates a very good complement. So it offers something interesting to us, and we do not have big reservoirs, right? So, and when we do not have big reservoirs and we are manufacturing with different conditions at different hours of the day in Colombia, this could generate energy that could displace water a little bit, and thinking about using this at different times where the prices could be higher. So this is a complementary issue when we talk about solar programs. So in regards to this, so we're expecting to finish this 200 number. This is related to the development team, which is led by Esteban. He's been working in that project for the last 2 years, and we're expecting with that speed and the dynamics that these technical prototypes are developing, being able to accelerate this topic, and within 18 months, we can start with this. So we're going 100% for this solar project. Esteban, I don't know if you want to contribute. Yeah, something else is that the model, the space model, is exactly the same. It's an extra plant connected to the system with the same dispatch setup. In this case, it's a smaller plant, less than 10 megabytes. So we have the base and the foundation. So the whole topic is adjusted with the operational issues. So in regards with the regulatory framework, for example, in ceilings, in solar ceilings, for solar roofs, is that today there's not a remuneration of the excess of the surplus when we talk about these roofs. If, for example, if we apply this technique to an office in Celsius during the weekend, we do not use this energy, that goes into the network operational numbers. It goes to Celsius, EPM, or whatever. So we're expecting to generate a regulation that can allow us to compensate that energy that is going into the system one way or another. And at the end, those backup charges, backup costs that we're seeing with different providers could be a moderate fee adjusted to the different profitability expectations of the industry, and that is not going to kill this business, to kill this solar roof business that is just beginning in Colombia. Perfect. One last comment. It's like in different communications, you said that it was possible to develop the solar projects in Panama. However, right now you only mentioned Colombia. What could you say in regards to Panama and this project, and how would this construction, how can you construct this solar farms over there? It's really nice. The solar park that we're developing in Panama, it's really beautiful. There's something really important. This is something now that you mentioned. It's right next to our Dos Mares plant. It's a park that it's an important park which complements really well the energy generation. Is connected to our substations, and we're really, really happy with this development. It's a park that is moving at full speed, and we're expecting that within 6 months to start the construction of the site. Thank you very much for this information. No, thank you, Mark. And the solar issue in Colombia, we're really expecting this to take off. And to all of you that are listening, we're really expecting this to take off because we need different complementary matrix. This is not going to replace other sources, but this definitely generates an interesting balance so that the really positive for the country. And we're really behind in comparison to Brazil, Mexico, and Chile. Next question, Erika Vaquero from Colombia. Good morning. First of all, congratulations for this extraordinary result. I do have a question. What can we expect for 2017 in regards to contract sales in this thermal assets in Colombia? Very good question, Erika. Let's see if Esteban can answer that question. Erika, let's see, in regards to the thermal assets from 2015, we mentioned that part of the strategy so that within a new environment, the impacts that we suffer are not going to repeat it at that point. It was to change the strategy, reduce the position that we had, and to leave these thermal assets in a different game. In the contract game, this adjustment was done in 2016. We reduced the amount of contracts of the 2,500 megawatt hour per year with thermal and hydrological at the order of 2,000 gigawatts per year. And right now we are at that level. We're at that level, a little bit less than 2,000 gigawatts, which allows us to maintain our contracting strategy that is totally supported on the hydrological base of the company. So within the hydrological assets that we have in EPSA, but right now not a single thermal asset is backing up a contract, or there's been a contract signed in this regard. Those were some of the decisions from last year. in order to avoid impacts when we are talking about, for example, El Nino. Thank you very much. Next question, Jairo Agudelo from Bancolombia. Yes, good morning, Ricardo and Esteban. Thank you very much for this presentation. I have two questions. The first one is to understand a little bit about the project of 2002. Let's say that last year the president mentioned that you were in a process on the bidding or quotation of the project, and maybe this year we could have a little bit more information if this project, I'd like to know if we're going to develop this project, and could you share a little bit of information about that. Second, it's the EPSA results as they were published last week. There was an increase close to 15,000 million pesos, if I'm not mistaken. So I'd like to know if this was a one-time off expense that they're not recurrent, or this is something that we need to expect regularly in EPSA results. Thank you very much. Perfect, Jairo. Let me tell you about Porvenir 2 project. We are advancing, as Jorge Mario said. We launched the tender for electromagnetic equipment and civil processes. These bidding processes are in development, so we're performing the field visits. We're providing all the information. We have a lot of interested providers, because this project is actually the only decent sized project in Colombia for the interested stakeholders. So there's a lot of interest that we've been able to force or to extend the deadlines when talking about receiving offers. So we extended that to until April, between March and April. So we're expecting this with all the financial closing systems. We're expecting to see this financial closing process towards June, July of this year, if things run just as we're expecting. On the other hand, the project continues advancing with social issues and environmental issues. This is a project that where we see the very interesting environmental benefits. The flooding area of this project is about 800,000 hectares, but we have to do an inventory and rescue species. We need to move and take care of the different species in the area. It's just something that we're going to do 4 years before the flooding process. This flooding, it's relatively low flooding process, and it's a long process. So at the end, 100,000 acres, and our obligation is that we have to replace almost 500 hectares of this precious jungle around the Samaná. You're going to be able to protect that with an extra 5,000 hectares. And there's a mandatory area, which is located 10 meters above the reservoir area, which generates a new natural park of 5,600 acres. I'm mentioning this because in Antioquia, we're losing probably 5,000, 6,000 hectares per year. And we're losing a lot of these natural areas due to illicit crops, in spite of the good projects and positive proposals. So a project of this type creates this type of protection process. So we're doing a great job, a really valuable job with different environmental issues and social issues. All the mayors and the government representatives are supporting this initiative. The communities are really excited about this. So I believe that we're doing great in this phase. Something similar to what happens with San Andres de Cuesta, the small central of 20 megawatts. So we are receiving proposals, and we're expecting to make all the adjustments by June of this year. I don't know if you have anything else in regards to Porvenir, Jairo, or that's clear. No, that's perfect. And I would also like to understand a little bit in the Porvenir case, which would be your strategy, your leveraging strategy for the project. Let's say that the last data numbers that we had, we're talking about investments that could be between $800 and $900 million. So I heard about a project finance or or strategic resources. I don't know if on you've checked something or you processed something about that and make a comment. Yeah, we keep on working on the financial closing process. So we keep into account indebtedness and equity. In this case, in equity, we are contemplating having a new ally. This is a really valuable project. So if we find a partner that can offer us, let's say, those characteristics, special characteristics that we're looking for, that can allow us to find leverage or to leverage this project, for example, better access, better lines, or better relationships with banks, with better development banks. These types of things are really interesting for us. So the financial teams and the different financial advisors are working diligently. Let's hope that when we share this contract towards the end of the year, we're going to be able to close this process. Thank you, Ricardo. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jairo. In regards to expenses, I don't know if you can probably explain the question a little bit more in order to give you a better answer. What specific item, trimester, are you talking about? Yeah, the results obeyed to the last trimester of 2016. Let's say that we're hoping lower costs. And between the expenses, there's a number that I believe is 15,000 million pesos, where there's not a reference in regards to this expense. So we don't know if this was something extraordinary or if the costs of EPSA right there were relative to the business operations. So we should probably expect inferior margins in regards to the results of the last trimester of 2016. Well, in regards to costs, we need to understand something important, and it's this: energy purchases are reduced during the year, during the trimester, due to higher hydrology. It's also true that the higher generation impacts costs, especially everything that has to do with AGD. So it's normal that when we have such a rainy season, that this costs, this variable cost of generation, are off the roof, and that distorts the margin of the company, because we end up selling at a lower price and the variable costs are high due to this generation. Another thing that we have, for example, is the assets in Chicayal due to this process. So the adjustment comes from the income section from the point of view of the recognition insurance, but we also have this asset impact, that it's a sales price, so this generation cost of that situation. And when we talk about expenses, then we haven't been able to see where you're seeing those 15,000, the expenses in EPSA for the fourth trimester. We see different numbers in regards to the third trimester. And the other expenses are in 3,100. We have another expense of 15,000 for the first trimester of the year that correspond essentially to the richness tax. And by this year, we're expecting to see a reduction. And by 2018, we're expecting to see this value total outside the financial statements. Thank you, Esteban. It's absolutely clear. Now, maybe I'm just going to clarify the number. I'm going to send you an email with all the details, all right? Great. Perfect. And right now, we don't have more questions, so we'll give the word to the panelists for any additional comments. Thank you, Samuel, very much. And for all the participants today, thank you very, very, very much for joining us today, and we're hoping to see you again in our board meeting of shareholders in Medellin, and Natalia is going to confirm the date, and we're really expecting to have a great day with the investors towards the end of the third trimester, where we're going to invite you to get to know this solar farm from an operational point of view, and the building of the new control building, that it's our Nova building, and we're also expecting to open this building by that time. This is going to be in Cali, in Jumbo. So thank you very much, and we'll hope to see you soon. Thank you very much. our conference. We conclude our conference. You can disconnect right now.